Yes, this is the second hour of the Red Pill Hardcore. I have Layla Paul here with us. And we're talking about the nativity scene. Yes. So.
V, do you mind if I just make a comment about Saint Nick?
Go ahead, sure.
Obviously, he's been commercialized and out of in the European tradition, but there really was a Saint Nicholas. But he lived in Byzantium.
Yes.
He came from a very wealthy family, and he became a monk. And he heard of a family that. He was close to their father, and he heard that the father did not have the money to give the girls dowries for their marriage. And one daughter wanted to marry but didn't have the money. So he supposedly threw a bag full of gold coins through the window late at night. And then they found it, and she was able to marry. Now, that's one possible reason. I don't know what their cultural traditions were, but in the Middle Eastern, not Byzantium, but further south in the Arabian Peninsula, and the Near East being the northwest of the peninsula, the tradition was that the husband's family is the one who always paid for weddings because the daughter was being given to the husband's family. So he was essentially compensating the woman's family for the loss of her services, and she would now be but a ser in service to the husband's family. But this other culture, it would have been later on, perhaps many centuries later, past that time, and their culture may have evolved more towards the European culture, where women were supposed to have a dowry at marriage. Actually, the dowries even existed. If you read the Code of Hammurabi, even there, a woman had a dowry at marriage, and if her husband rejected her, he was supposed to return her dowry. So dowries seem to have been a common thing. Are you familiar with the Code of Hammurabi?
Yes.
It's like, I think, 600 and some odd long, and apparently, if you look at the mitzvot, the duties of being a good Jew, many of them are taken right out of the Code of Hammurabi. Now, Rabbi, of course, means teacher in Chaldean and other Semitic languages. To the Jews, it has come to mean the religious leader as well. But usually a teacher often had a highly respected role and probably might have been a preacher as well as a teacher. And you know the eye for an eye comes out of the Code of Hammurabi.
Yes.
And in there, he also accounted for men being punished. If a woman was pregnant, for example, and a man abused her and she lost the child, he would be punished. For having, so they obviously considered a fetus a baby.
Well, a lot of the Phoenician law comes from that as well.
Yes.
But I want to throw in very quickly,
Yes.
my research on old Saint Nick. Yes, same beginnings. He was like a monk, but he got his sainthood because supposedly he came upon an inn, and there was like barrels for whatever reason. I guess the owner of the inn or what was killing children, chopping them up and feeding them to his patrons. This saint, well, Saint Nick got his name because he took those barrels and resurrected those children back to life. And so he became the saint patron of children or something.
That kind of story would make him more worthy of being saintly, or canonized as a saint. However, I think at the same time, combine that with the fact that he threw in money over through a window to help an impoverished family. That's where Santa Claus comes in at night and secretly does something. So it might have been a combination. There are so many narratives that circulate, and nothing is really reliable. A lot of it is a matter of faith. And
Here's another funny, I would like to say fact, but because, yes, he was a real person, and he's been buried and dug up and buried so many times that there are pieces of him in different museums, and the last surviving piece of him is a finger, and it's in a museum there in Canada.
Really?
Yes.
I don't even know. Do you know which museum? It would probably be the one in Ottawa, or I would imagine it would be in Ottawa.
It's a traveling piece
or Toronto.
Of history. Apparently this thing travels, so it moves from museum to museum.
That is interesting. I'll have to look into that. I haven't heard that story, so thank you for telling me.
I've looked into every weird thing about everything.
By the way, there is one other thing that I want to bring up. I have heard so many times people who dislike Muslims saying, oh, the Muslims are ruining Christmas. We're not allowed to say Merry Christmas because of the Muslims. Guess what, everybody? In the 1950s, when the Muslims had absolutely no influence in the U.S. or Canada, if they were already here in sufficient number, and they were to a smaller degree, there was the merchants that used to have circulate a toy where you'd pull the string and it would say, Ixmas, Ixmas. And when Christians objected to Merry Ixmas, the answer, and again, it was the Jewish-influenced, I think, ACLU that said you weren't allowed any longer to say Christmas. They would answer back, well, X was the first word in the Greek, Christo, Christo. But the point is, Jesus wasn't Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't fair. For anyone who still tries to say that it's because of Muslims that we're not allowed to say Christmas, not at all. That is untrue, because I was here in living near Detroit when I remember that we were told in school that we were supposed to say Merry Xmas, not Christmas, and that it was because we didn't want to offend people who didn't believe in Jesus, and that, of course, at the time was the Jews, because almost everybody was Christian.
Well, we don't have any such thing saying, you know, you can't say Hanukkah anymore because we don't believe in candles. Well, we don't believe that thing burned for 8 days. You're going to offend people.
Yeah. Actually, it was apparently olive oil in whatever they put them in, brass tubes or plate-like couplets, and they would. That was how they would safely burn an oil, and this oil supposedly did not run out. But that would be against the Maccabees, against the Hasmoneans, which, of course, the people of Judah utterly hated the Greeks. The Greeks they were bad enough, but then the Romans came. And by the way, the hatred between the Greeks and the Romans, it was still so intense in Bethlehem in the time of my parents. My mother told me story. If, for example, a Greek Orthodox, either Greek Orthodox Christian, married a Roman Catholic Christian, the Roman Catholics used to say a mass for the dead. If the Greek Orthodox priest and the Roman Catholic priest were walking down the same side of the road, unpaved, of course, paths, but if they were walking down the same side of the road, they would both spit on the ground and one of them would cross the road and go to the other side. That is how intense the Greco-Roman animosity continued into the time of my mother's life in Bethlehem and my parents, which would have been,
wow,
again, around the 1920s. Yeah, you just couldn't do it. You married your own religion. And that is why they can. You'll see the Christians are clustered in one group because, for example, a Catholic, what was the Melkites? There's so many different denominations. And by the way, the Catholic Church did not come first. It came out of the Greek Orthodox. Because the Greek Eastern Orthodox was structured, the power of the Eastern Orthodox Church was structured in Byzantium. And Damascus was where the patriarch of the Eastern Orthodox Church lived. And by the way, my grandfather, the big industry, of course, in Bethlehem was olive wood, carving from olive wood, religious symbols, rosaries, other crosses, and beautiful, beautiful sculpturing. They did it all by hand in those days. But my grandfather, my uncles, all of them were very skilled at sculpting with mother of pearl, which is the interior of the shell of a clam. Mm-hmm. And they were often commissioned by monarchs to create replicas of their palaces. And my grandfather was considered the Mukhtar and Mukhatir, like the sculptor of all sculptors, he was also highly regarded in the community, even though that side of my family was quite poor. But he was so skilled that he created many palace replicas out of mother of pearl, and was invited by the monarch to receive a medal. And he went to Russia very often, and he was in Russia, and he told my father, or the whole family, his family, that he actually witnessed the Tsar's troops shooting down people begging for food. But the Tsar himself, Tsar Nicholas, was totally oblivious to what was going on outside. He was a devoutly religious man, and often said mass himself with the priest. And so for the 300th anniversary for the Romanov dynasty, my grandfather was invited. And that was where he met the patriarch of the Orthodox Church. And so the patriarch baptized my father and one of his brothers, my Uncle Gregory. So it was, Bethlehem was the center of Christianity. People came there not only to practice their faith and to deepen their faith, but many of them actually came seeking miracles. As you may know, the Dead Sea was believed to cure many skin diseases.
Yes.
And so many people with skin diseases would come to Bethlehem, to the Dead Sea, and then they would often, or come to Palestine for the Dead Sea, and then they would stay there. And in my, when I did my DNA ancestry, it also had a whole long list of diseases that were, they tested for elevated risks. There were about five or six skin diseases that I was tested for that came up, very slightly elevated risks. And ironically, leprosy, which was at that time obviously occurred. In fact, King Baldwin I of Jerusalem, of the first Crusader kingdom, suffered from leprosy. But leprosy on my list, I had a lower than average risk if I were exposed to one particular bacterium of leprosy.
Well, it kind of makes you think. What was Jesus walking around carrying leprosy, having a vial of Dead Sea water?
The thing is, these cures, again, were they miracles or were they actually just myths that were spread? Now, I don't know about being able to cure people and raise people from the dead. That's where I have to confess, despite my faith, there are elements of doubt. Ironically, many years later, it was very common. Everybody was very superstitious and believed in magic. Everybody practiced magic everywhere, not just in Europe, but in the Middle East as well, in the Arab world, or in that world that became Arab many centuries later. Mm-hmm. They all believed, and Muhammad, the prophet, the Muslim prophet, he absolutely prohibited black magic. He could not dispense or prohibit superstition, so he allowed white magic. But any black magic, which was intended to be a curse, to cause someone to die or to suffer, was prohibited. Now, of course, we know that you can't wish somebody, you can't curse somebody and cause them to suffer or die. God knows we've all tried. So there was no, but anyway, they simply practicing it made them compromise the integrity of their souls. So got to give Muhammad credit. He forbade that because they continued to practice black magic in other parts of the world.
Well, King Solomon himself, people hear stories about how, you know, he conjured demons to build his palace and things like that. But what most people don't realize, or people forget, the end of the story is that he ended up selling his soul to wed some woman that was out of his reach.
He had many wives. I think he had hundreds, if not thousands, of wives, and he allowed them to bring all of their gods with them, which is why he was so hated. That was one of the reasons why Judah broke away from the, because Israel and Judah used to be one kingdom, but Solomon, who was in the north, and he was very friendly with a Phoenician king, he married, it wasn't him who married the Phoenician king's daughter, it was King Ahab, who married the Phoenician king's daughter, but Jezebel. There's, you know, everyone knows the story of Jezebel, or should know. That is where women were considered to be the cause of a man's corruption. She was evil because she didn't observe God, according to the ultra-religious extremists of the time. But anyway, Solomon apparently was so busy building this grandiose temple where he got the cedars from Lebanon, because he was friendly with the rulers in the area that was what we now call Lebanon. He exploited the people and made them slave labor, and that is why they rebelled against him, and the south seceded. So there were the 10 tribes that remained in the north in Israel, and then those who seceded because of the brutality of Solomon. He was so greedy. And Solomon and his mother, Bathsheba, again, she tricked her husband into appointing Solomon, King David. She tricked him. David was blind and old when his oldest son, I think, was Adonijah, who should have been the oldest son by the biblical rules. The oldest son was supposed to be the inheritor. But right. Bathsheba tricked her husband into naming Solomon as his heir. And it should not have been him. Now, even Bathsheba, there's some questions. Bathsheba was a Hittite. Because when she approached Solomon, or when she approached David to make Solomon his heir, she said, you swore by your God that you would make Solomon your heir. If she had been a Judean or an Israelite, she would not have said your God. She was a Hittite. She was married to Uriah the Hittite that David arranged to have murdered so he could marry her because she was pregnant. And he didn't want to be exposed. But Bathsheba, that's not a real name. Also, Kumi Thalitha. There, a lot of these stories are stories that might have been based on fact. Because remember, there was nobody, the average person, how could they in those days, would they have had access to parchment? Do you know how expensive it is to make parchment from animal skins? Horridly expensive. Only the ultra rich could afford it. Where would they get the ink to write the stories? Could they even read and write? So it was all word of mouth. And everyone knows that stories are exaggerated or distorted when they're repeated a number of times.
Yes, but, the telephone game.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Play that game. And you know, and so there was, until papyrus was invented, and it was, I think, perfected in, you know how Phoenicia was not really one country, it was three city-states. There was Byblos, Sidon, and Tyre, or Tyre. Mm-hmm. So Byblos is where they apparently perfected the skill of papyrus and writing on papyrus and accumulating manuscripts. And that's why the Bible is called the Bible, from Byblos.
Yes.
Because that's where and it was in Aramaic first. The old Imperial Aramaic of the time. And what I spoke as an infant, what I learned. Now, my mother says that by the time I was 2.5 or 3, I was speaking three languages. The Telhami, which incorporated a lot of Arabic vocabulary. And then because we left there and came to Canada, first Ellis Island, Canada, Tuco, went back. Then we went to Mexico, where there was a huge colony of people from Bethlehem. It was practically called the town of the Telhama, outside of Bethlehem. So there I learned Spanish. And by the time we came back to Canada, I was exposed to French in Montreal. So by the time I was three, my mother says I spoke three languages. So I've had, now the facility for languages runs in our families. I think the more often you're exposed over many, many, many generations to different languages, you learn languages. So they become second nature. Something inside your brain just kind of clicks. You see similarities. You don't learn a language by memorizing the rules. How does a person learn a language? You learn it by hearing a sound and observing what happens when that sound is spoken. That's why animals can understand verbal commands.
Right.
So I don't think all of this influx of immigrants is very much to be regretted. It is very sad. It is horrible. But if we look back on the migrations, look at the events that occurred, what they called when the people of the sea, I won't say the sea peoples because they might hear think of the letter C, but the people of the sea, when they invaded, there was a reason for it. They came with families. Their carts were loaded with many men, yes, came alone, but they were also, their carts had belongings and their children. There must have been a famine, earthquakes. There's a theory that the island Thera exploded, and mm-hmm. that, yeah, you must know that. There's a lot of seismic activity. That is also why the Bible is full of hell, brimstone raining from the sky, because when there's a volcano, it flies up into the sky and comes down as fire and stone.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, there are meteorites that come from the cosmos. This planet, these people who say, we are going to save the planet, that is the most egomaniacal thing I can imagine, as though the planet needs us to save it. Trust me, have you ever seen a dog shake off water or try to shake off fleas, or a dog or a horse quiver his skin to get rid of a horsefly? The planet, when it's had enough of us, will shake us off. We do not need to save the planet. We need to avoid irritating the planet.
Yes. Well, you know, I get into a lot of fights with people online, especially Gab. And I have a lot of fun trolling the white supremacists and, you know, how they speak their superiority and things like that. It's like, you know what? The planet, for the first time ever, is dying because of a living species. and
actually,
you know,
the planet's not dying.
Well,
forgive me.
All
allow
the
me.
Chemical warfare, the nukes, and things like that. Yes. We are being a cancer upon the planet. Is my point. Anyways, go ahead.
Let me suggest make a couple of suggestions. Almost everybody has Netflix. Look for a series called Ancient Apocalypse with Graham Hancock. He doesn't pretend to be a scientist or an archaeologist, but it does so much to explain. I told you this, I think, the last time we talked, that this documentary is remarkable. Another one that absolutely I think everybody should watch, look if you can find it, is Storm Over Europe. And it talks about how all of the different tribes from Jutland or Jutland, the Cimbrian Peninsula, migrated south because of climatic changes that the earth was undergoing. And they migrated south, and then they divided into the Visigoths and the Ostrogoths, the Ostrogoths going east and the Visigoths going south. The Visigoths conquered Rome and destroyed Rome. That's why the Western Roman Empire was destroyed. The Visigoths then went as far as to where the Gibraltar is now located on the north side, and then crossed over and conquered North Africa from the Romans. They took it from them. That is why there are so many white people in North Africa. And many of them would likely have migrated south as well. So if it happened around 500 AD, do you think you, as you yourself said, you know this, you're logical enough, intelligent enough to know this without having to be told, people do not grow out of the ground. We are not plants. We move the moment we're mobile. We crawl and then we walk and we run. And we're always grasping, always moving onward. And if there's, if we are suffering any deprivation, or if we want great, the grass is always greener on the other side. So we migrate. We migrate for whatever reasons. What we've seen recently with the migrations, a lot of it was instigated, coordinated, and paid for by the New World Order. But it's happened before many, many times. And if you watch this storm over Europe, it's, if you can find it, it was easy to, I found it easily before. This time I had to search. But it's a wonderful, and I believe the link begins with H. Harry D. Dog Clump, CLUMP.com. And if you just put put in storm over Europe, it explains so much. Because while these migrations were occurring, they were joined by people from all over. And they they did not join only because they were Teutons or Germanic or from the Cimbrian. Anybody who had the same philosophy and ideology was accepted into the group. The objective, the goal was the same. That is what made them one migrating group.
Yes. Well, something, and I wish I could find this documentary. I watched it once and then disappeared from YouTube. It's a documentary about black nobility in Germany. Because, you know, the Moors conquered Europe twice.
Yes, the Moros, yes.
I've got to go on a search for it, but it's talked about, black, the aristocracy there and how they wanted to, how they basically ended up tried to purge any of those bloodlines out. You know,
I know what you're saying.
Surviving Madonna and Child, that's still over in France. Thank God, still have that artwork and that stuff.
Do you know why the Muslims accepted blacks? Why the blacks became Muslim? Why they joined with the Arabs and why the Arabs accepted them?
Well, the blacks, I mean, you still had like slave trade going on, and yes, blacks, if they accepted Islam, they would be considered full people.
Exactly. All the religions. Christians were not allowed to have Christians. In the beginning, it was anybody, whoever you captured, you could own him. But Christians were not allowed to have Christians as slaves. Muslims were not allowed to have Muslims as slaves. And on. I don't know about Jews. They might have had each other as slaves. I don't know. I assume not. In the ancient times, they would have. In modern days, in more recent times, they would not have. They would have used the goyim, the others. And the goyim is not necessarily a disparaging phrase. It means the other nations. But anyway, that the Muslims, once an African adopted Islam, he was an equal.
Yes.
He was one of his own. They didn't judge them by their skin color. Now, there was a lot of cruelty to Africans in the early years of Islam when it went into Africa. Many of them were made eunuchs to serve the black sheikhs or kings or whatever they wanted to call themselves. I see we're in a break.
Yes, we're going to go quick break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because
you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Big John Studd, my middle name Mud. Dirty water flow, too much for you thugs that can't stand the flood. What up, Doc? Whole big gun like Elmer Fudd. The show shot, Mr. Meth, I'm unplugged. Look, temperature's too hot for sunblock. Burn, playing with mines to get you straight time. Lock behind 12 bars from a great...
Yeah, we're just riffing here. Got Layla Paul here with us, and... I think we left off before the break talking about Islam coming into Africa. So,
yeah, do you mind? Can I just interrupt you for a second? Can you tell me a little bit about the Black Hebrews? And I know that, in fact, one of the only two shows that I did do here at RBN, I don't know how long ago it was, but in that show, I reported on the fact that Europe used to be all black until some of the people with lighter skin migrated into Europe and then intermarried with the blacks. Now, I would imagine those were the first to leave Africa, and that they obviously they would have gone obviously to some place like Europe because there was so much fertile land there, but the Black Hebrews, did they also exist? I keep tapping and I shouldn't. I think it probably makes noise on the other end. But did the Black Hebrews also exist in Africa?
Well, I mean, that's the origin. Have you ever heard of the story of Yaqub?
Jacob, yes. No.
Basically... We have a creation myth in Africa of the white man. There's this scientist who he had a issue with his family, and he hated everyone. He hated people. He wanted to create a different kind of people. So he took up... he made a cult, basically. A large following of people. And basically, these people caused enough issues to where the king of this particular area told him to take his people and get the hell out of the country. So he migrated up north and started to breed lighter-skinned people together. Those who were of dark skin were not allowed to breed. And he kept breeding lighter skin with lighter skin, repeat the process over 600 years. Mm-hmm. You had your first Caucasian. So that's our creation myth, which actually goes quite well with historical and evolutionary standards. So, but if you want to go into it more culturally, when you had, so genetically speaking, you can't have two white people and have a black baby. However, you can, and it still happens today, you could have two black people produce a white baby. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Yes.
And this is outside of the albino situation. Mm-hmm. This is something totally separate. But however, when you have these albinos, they're actually treated quite well within the tribes and the communities. We're often seen as celebrities and sort of put up on a pedestal, so to speak. And so this sort of thing kind of continued and it continued on. That's why you see in Egypt, for example, the pharaohs, you have a lot of these white supremacists claiming that, oh yes, the pharaohs came to Ireland and populated Ireland. That's a possibility because, our albinos, pretty much redheads, okay, they talk about how the pharaohs were redheaded and things like that, but, they once act like that they came back down to Egypt and conquered us or something. No, they came from us. And so I literally got into it again with another white supremacist, and he talked about how, why only blue eyes and different hair colors are only white people. It's like, no. They're in Africa today, black children, some are born with blue
red
eyes.
Red hair and blue eyes.
The thing is, this sort of thing, reason why we don't see it today in America is because that was bred out of us. Those recessive genes were bred out of us.
Yes. Actually, that one story that I, that one show that I did do, when I described Europe as having been primarily black until the white tribes, farmers migrated into Europe and hunter-gatherers, they were blue-eyed. They were dark-skinned, but with blue eyes. Mm-hmm. And apparently, everyone who has blue eyes is descended from the first person who had the genetic mutation, which is interesting. And where did that person come from? Now, we also neglect the Neanderthals. The Neanderthals were dark. They weren't dark, but they had red hair, blue and green eyes. And they were all over Europe. I mean, they survived during the Ice Age because they were able to adapt to it.
Right.
And the last place that the Neanderthals interbred with what they call anatomically modern humans.
The Cro-Magnon, yes.
The Cro-Magnon, yes, was around the Mediterranean. It's still the areas where they lived around the Gibraltar is still in caves submerged below the sea level. Oh, and by the way, do you know how the Mediterranean was formed?
Well, hold on. Let me finish my.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Your question.
Yeah,
so, you had when you have these lighter skinned people, especially these albinos, they tend to migrate up north. You don't want to be anywhere around the equator being an albino.
Yeah.
So this is something that tended to happen. Albino families would actually migrate up north. And of course, yes, as you were saying, you know, Cro-Magnon met with Neanderthal up there, and that's sort of how we just sort of branched out from there. Yeah, absolutely.
There are many variations on humans. I mean, we're just not one simple species. And the idea of one being supreme, that all of them are supreme. Like, who is supreme amongst the white? The Catholics who were slaughtering the Protestants, or the Protestants who were slaughtering the Catholics? And although the Catholics were rigidly controlled by the Pope, the Protestants broke off into numerous sects. And then there were the Puritans, who were hated, and they were the ones responsible for the hanging, the execution of Charles I. People seem to forget that these whites killed each other. So which of these whites that were killing each other is the supreme branch of the lighter skinned people? It's just so, the idea that skin color alone, when we know that there were schools for children with special needs long before we recognized the needs of Africans that were descendants of Africans who were being ignored. And the other question I have is, I don't know the answer, and I'm not saying this is something we should all consider, but, and I have said this myself, you know, American culture built America. Actually, no, as I think about it more, this is something that some people don't like, is that, and it's something that I'm very proud of. My brain is not carved in stone. I'm not locked in with my ideas. If I get new information, or if I dig up something in my mind that I know was there but had failed to consider, I can revise my thinking. We forget that without the Africans to do the slave labor, America might never have been as rich and as prosperous as it was, because we didn't have to fork out a lot of money on labor. So perhaps, and because of the fact that they were denied opportunities, their children were denied opportunities. Maybe, just maybe, there is a legitimate case to be made for, we owe them. Not me, I didn't grow up in America.
Well, I mean, it goes deeper than that. I mean, there's something that Caucasians just really hate to hear, especially the white supremacists. We did stuff first. We were obviously the first color on the color tree. We were the first. When you talk about historians and world travel, you know, they only talk about as far as it goes with, again, European history. Fact is that Africans were the first seafaring people. Okay, yes. You want to talk about the Olmecs?
Yes, they were.
That you like talking about history and school. There are sometimes we would touch into South American, Central American. Oh, Mayan, Aztecs, and the Mexicans. Okay, what about the Olmecs? You know, people are scratching their heads.
Tell us who the Olmecs are.
Well, these were the Africans that came, well, off the coast of West Africa and made their way over to Central America.
Yes.
It's because of the Olmecs that we have rubber. They invented rubber from the rubber trees over there.
Well, that's why the Belgians exploited them. They would torture them unless they extracted the rubber from the trees. There's a documentary you've got to try and find about the Belgian Congo and what King Leopold did. It was horrible.
Oh, I know all
horrible.
About what the Belgians did.
It was horrible. But other people, you know, but other people don't. And they should. And those are the things that make us all stop and think. But the idea of being able to go from the coast of West Africa to the east coast of South America is entirely plausible from long, long, long ago. There is a woman recently.
The Aborigines, they're African. So
yes,
I mean,
it would seem. I would assume that genetically it could be shown, but
it has been shown. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And genetically, we're all so close. How anyone can say that just because I've said it, I know I've gone along with it. It was during a time I was as a teenager in my late teens. I was dating a really super guy, and we would go to the West Indies a lot and go sailing in the Caribbean. And I remember I was horrified. It never occurred to me that anybody would be so biased against people of African descent. But we were getting on a small boat. We were on the island of Montserrat, which was at that time an inactive volcano that later erupted, as you probably know. So there's a lot of irregular ground underneath by the shore because of the volcanic activity that made it very rough sometimes by the shore. And we were in a boat to get to the catamaran, or the trimaran, I think we were taking. But they were helping us. And I remember he was a friend of the guy that I was with. He was a surgeon, a highly educated man, highly respected. It was at the Royal Victoria in Montreal, then a very respected institution. And he came on the boat, all indignant. Those jibber-jabbering monkeys. I mean, all that trouble to get on this boat. And I looked at him in horror. Jibber-jabbering monkeys? I was horrified.
Wow.
Yeah, that was... Do you know that the woman we were visiting on Montserrat lived in Plymouth, or near Plymouth? She had her own house. She was only 35, and I remember thinking, oh my, everyone said she was too young to be retired. I thought, oh my God, she's so old. I mean, I was 19. But she had a house that was like, you know, like French doors. It was on the top of a hill. You could open every door. No security. Nothing was locked. You could open every door, and everything was wide open, and you could see the small rocky island of Redonda in the distance. She lived there all alone and was perfectly safe. So, I mean, the hostility has only somehow, there are instigators. Now, yes, in the old times, they believed in the south of the U.S. that the African was made to serve the white man. And so he was the slave, and many of them had no qualms and no regrets. My brother was murdered in Jamaica. So for a few years, I felt a lot of hostility towards blacks, even though I had been treated so well. I traveled all alone throughout the West Indies afterwards, numerous times, and often I was the only white person at a party. No one ever hassled me, and I was a good-looking young chick. I mean, and yet they never bothered.
I've actually pulled up some of your pictures. You don't have very many pictures, but from the couple pictures I have, you're quite the looker.
I guess I was. but I was never, and I've told this to people, and they don't believe me. I remember being on one island, and again, it was before it was a famous resort, and it was just a party with a bar on the beach, and it was just lights strung up on strings with posts, and it was hundreds of people, and we were all drinking and dancing, and suddenly I looked, I don't know why it didn't occur to me before, I looked around and I thought, oh my God, I'm the only white person here. And then I walked from there to the boat that I was taking. It was one of three boats that used to go through the islands carrying some passengers, but cargo and mail. And I only paid for deck passage, which at that time was $42. And the purser, they were all black, all the crew was black. The purser would tell me which cabin was empty so I could sleep in there. The captain would have me up in his office where I would have my meals. and drinks. And so I walked from the party to the cabin, and I would go from island to island. The only danger I ever encountered was when I was attacked by an Alsatian. And in those days, they still called them Alsatians, even though they were German shepherds, because there was still hostility towards the Germans. So this thing with the notion of black versus white,
it's actually ridiculous because, I mean, again, just with the evolution and how lighter skinned people would pop up and be revered. I mean, we like white people. Okay, I'm a black man, and most black men will tell you, or well, at least some should admit to, their greatest weakness is a white woman. We absolutely adore you.
I got to tell you, when I dated black men when I was younger, and there was one man, I did not date him, but I remember I couldn't understand why people, well, we were in Montreal, and we had taken a trip up to the Laurentians, and we were driving back, and we were stopped at a red light, and suddenly I realized that every single car, they were all looking at us. And for the first time, I was self-conscious of it. And then another time, there was a guy I had met, I think, in Jamaica, and he was now working in Montreal, and he was driving a cab, and I hailed a cab, and there he was. So I got in with him, and he took me over to his house, and we had dinner. And it all seemed so natural. There wasn't that consciousness then. I don't know why it's become so... Why? Somebody has been instigating hostilities between us. Somebody wants to destroy America, and they're going to destroy America by turning blacks against whites and whites against blacks. And who is doing it? That's who we have to identify, and that's who we have to turn on. And as for the Hispanic-speaking migrants, some of them are really hard workers.
Well, according to the people I've been monitoring online, And it's really funny seeing a lot of how, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, how a lot of these dynamics are, you know, hey, you know, you see some of these, like, Aryan Nazi worshiping people on with their profiles and stuff. They're like, hey, you know, hey, blacks, you know, you need to get together with us. It's the Jews making us fight. And, you know, I just... I look at this stuff and I laugh, and it's just like, you know what? Everybody just needs to take a chill pill. How about that?
Yeah. Red pill, chill pill, whatever. But yeah, we've all allowed ourselves to become aroused and incited. And the problem is there's a saying in French that the hysteria travel, that hysteria is contagious, and in a crowd it's almost like a pathogen, but it invades the mind instead of the body. And once people are afraid, they stop thinking reasonably.
Yes.
And they look for someone to blame. There's always a need for someone to, it wasn't me, it's that other person. The one that
fear.
Looks different
fear
from
me. Fear is the mind killer.
Fear, absolutely. It kills the rational mind.
Yes.
Now, before I'm going to be very selfish. Oh, darn, we've only got a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask you about radio frequencies on the internet, but I'll have to save that for another day. We'll save that for another day. I should leave you to close up the show. I love talking with you. You're loads of fun to talk to. So thank you for having me.
You're lucky I didn't get into my Jesus was an alien conspiracy.
Maybe he was. God is an alien. He doesn't live on Earth.
Well, there you go. Yes, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you. You know what? As a matter of fact, I usually have I'll declare my favorite person of the year. And I, so you come in swooping in at the last minute And I could definitely say you're the, as far as people I've met this year, you're number one.
Thank you. I'm so flattered. Truly, I'm honored because I've lived a very secluded life recently. There's just so much going on out there that I don't understand, and I don't want to get caught up in other people's animosities and hostilities towards other people that I might not actually feel hostile towards. And the problem is when you're with a group, birds of a feather, you're identified as being part of them. And so I've kept a lot to myself, especially since my husband died. But yeah, this has been a joy. So thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You know, I don't blame you because I know when I get back to the States, I'm apprehensive. Just the idea of seeing these weirdos, these shims and theys and blue haired people, and just I'm gonna have a hard time adjusting. I think hopefully I can just get through it, and do what I need to do.
Yeah. When are you coming?
Come back.
When are you coming back? Do you know?
Oh, well, projected at the end of March, but I'll be in Austin probably by May.
All right.
So, yeah, I got a lot of work to do, a lot of building up the station, building up the networks, things like that. But, you know, I had to acquire a place to live and, just regular accommodations so I can survive, and just things because of COVID and things like that. Prices are jacked up, and, you know, just finding
what I need. God, yes. Wow. You know, I'm glad I didn't come to Austin, because John invited me to come down to Austin. He said I could stay with him until I found a place to stay. But that's when everything went crazy.
Yeah.
If I had gone down there now, I'd really be in trouble. I'm glad I did not. I'm glad COVID came up and stopped me from going.
Yeah, but definitely anyhow. Might have been in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you knew our silver-haired, our founder here.
He was a great
God
guy.
God rest his soul. Oh, great guy. God,
yes, yes.
Well, yes, and Leila,
kudos to Mike. Kudos to Mike for keeping it going. I have to say.
Oh,
and whoever's working, and Julie. Mike and Julie and all the others and everyone else, and best of luck with TLB Talk. It's a worthy cause.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Leila Paul, ladies and gentlemen. This is our Christmas episode. And this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Real Show. I am your host, B. Remember, in the land of those familiars, the man with third eye is king. So educate yourselves.
Say hello to my new friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.